We know many of you listen to this podcast on the go, driving to work, working out, even doing chores. Now you can get CPE credit for that time. With Earmark, you can earn free NASBA-approved CPE for listening to the Inside Public Accounting podcast. After you listen to an episode, take a quiz, and your certificate will be ready. Earmark has courses for everyone in your firm, from staff to partners. Get started today at earmark.app or download the free app on the App Store.
If you feel like the accounting profession is changing faster than ever, you're absolutely right. 2025 is the year that everything speeded up. Ownership models, talent, technology.
And beneath all of that shift is really how firms make decisions. Today, we'll break down what is driving the pressure, how leaders are adapting, and which moves will matter most in the year ahead. Welcome back to the Inside Public Accounting Podcast. I'm Chelsea Summers, Executive Director of IPA.
And I'm Rob Brown, and today we're talking through the major themes that define the year, the deals that people are talking about, the consolidation that's accelerating, and how firm leaders should interpret the signals coming from the data. And there's nobody better than you, Chelsea, with the data.
Yeah, it's been a remarkable year already, and some of these moves will really reshape the profession for the next decade.
Well, before we get into all of the big headlines, I just want to talk about some of these blockbuster combinations, because it's been a game changer of a year with all these huge deals going down.
Yeah, and they really highlight how fast the profession is consolidating right now. The headline story, of course, is the Baker Tilly and Moss Adams merger that was announced in April. It's a nearly $7 billion combination that instantly created the sixth largest firm in the United States.
That was such a massive leap, wasn't it? Everyone opened their eyes at that one.
Yeah, and it wasn't just about scale. The deal really brought together deep advisory capabilities and some coast-to-coast coverage and private equity backing. So it's a very clear signal that outside capital has really officially entered the mainstream of accounting.
And when people saw that, they thought everything's possible, because that deal set the tone, didn't it, Chelsea, for the year?
Yeah, and after that announcement, we saw firms in the IPA 100 and really even in the 200 move quickly. Several top 50 firms completed strategic combinations, some to enter new markets, some were to acquire a niche advisory practice, and some because they felt real pressure to grow faster.
You called it in IPA's mid-year update that firms are now talking openly about private equity, about consolidation, not just as a reaction to the market, but as a strategic play.
Yeah. 5 years ago, a firm might have merged because they got an offer. Now firms are saying, we need scale, we need advisory depth, we need talent. The intent is different and the pace is different and the size of these deals is different.
Yeah. It seems like private equity is the defining theme for the year.
Yeah. It is. And we've moved really beyond the early handful of PE-backed firms. In 2025, we're seeing larger deals, we're seeing more diversified capital and firms that are really using that investment to modernize their operations much faster than traditional partnership structures might have allowed.
So talk to us about some of the biggest shifts.
Three things. Technology investment, real budgets for automation and AI. Two would be talent. PE firms are supporting different compensation structures and bringing in non-traditional leadership. And then three, advisory expansion. Firms aren't shy about buying capabilities instead of building them.
Yeah. So it seems like, love it or hate it, the fluid market of private equity, a change in business models, CAS, it's not going away.
No. And it's really forcing partnership-led firms to think differently about ownership and risk and long-term strategies.
Bright spot this year, Chelsea. In previous years, it's all been about the talent pipeline, but we're seeing some movement there. I know you watched this closely.
Yeah. After years of some declines, we're finally seeing stabilization. Undergraduate accounting enrollment rose for the first time in a long time. So firms are starting to feel that shift, and they're also doing that by broadening their recruiting approaches.
And you commented on this in the little mini-series I'm doing about reflections on 2025, about how firms are shifting their hiring to take in computer science majors, engineering majors, general business grads.
Yeah, firms are really leaning heavily into global teams and offshoring support as well. Not as a stopgap to get the work done, but really as a core part of their model of expansion and their team building.
And turnover?
It's slightly improved. So it's not a dramatic recovery from where we saw a couple years ago, but enough that firms really feel like they could start to plan and strategize again. That's really a big change from where we were.
Yeah. Another big theme this year is the partner role itself is changing.
Yeah, this is something that we've been tracking and part of a lot of conversations that I've been having. That traditional model of, you know, work hard, climb the ladder, make partner, it simply doesn't match how firms are operating today.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't match what the younger professionals want as well.
Yeah, they're changing their values, the perspectives, what they're asking for. So what seems to be changing the most in this regard?
I think the non-equity partner tracks are expanding. So people want leadership roles, but they want it without the risk and the capital commitment. Mm. Also, corporate style structures are really gaining traction. Some of that because of the influence of PE. So firms bringing on COOs, chief technology officers, or even chief talent roles. So real executive leadership, not just a title. And then also partnership isn't the only badge of success anymore. Firms are really creating dual career tracks and hybrid models.
I've seen the rise of the non-fee earning partner as well. So people are going up to the C-suite and having more responsibility without the equity. And it seems like firms can't ignore these changing talent paths anymore.
No, because talent is really demanding clarity. When they understand the structure, the expectations, and the economics of the firm, they typically stay longer and they're more deeply engaged in the firm.
You look at a lot of the innovative firms, Chelsea. I can't see many of them surviving if they stick to that traditional partnership method. You mentioned earlier the rise of global teams. This seems like a big trend this year and going into next year.
Yeah, it really is. 5 years ago, offshoring was treated really as an emergency solution to staffing shortages. And in 2025, it's just strategic capability. Firms aren't outsourcing just tasks anymore. They're building a full global team that operates as part of the firm.
That's going to affect culture, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, we're seeing shared leadership roles. We're seeing global training programs, some cross-border advisory teams, centralized quality control, and really integrated tech platforms. This isn't about just sending work offshore to get done. It's about expanding the firm globally. And the firms that do this well are seeing better turnaround times, they're seeing stronger margins and higher retention, both in their domestic and international teams.
Yeah, I'm seeing a real shift in the appetite for offshoring and the respectability of it. It used to be a stigma, but now it's a very big strategic part of growth and people are handling it a lot better. And it levels the playing field, doesn't it, for the mid-sized firms?
It does. A $40 million firm really can now compete with a $400 million firms in a way that wasn't possible a decade ago.
So as we reflect on 2025, we can't get away with not mentioning artificial intelligence, Chelsea. It's been another defining theme.
Yeah, the elephant in the room. What I think is new this year is that firms are using AI in client-facing work. So advisory dashboards, forecasting, tax planning summaries, real deliverables for their clients. The firms that are ahead aren't just automating internal processes. They're packaging AI insights as part of their client value.
Yeah. And you've been on the record as predicting that that adoption and integration will happen a lot more and it will become part of business as usual.
Yeah. It's not about, can we save 12 minutes per tax return? It's, can we bring something to the client that they've never seen from us before? And I think that's really where the profession is heading.
Yeah. I like having little lightning rounds with you where I fire quick questions at you instead of going deep. So the quick facts that leaders need to know about 2025 so far, what have you got?
Yeah. So offshoring is fully mainstream, especially in those largest top 100 firms. Margins are still under pressure, even for high growth firms. Advisory continues to outpace tax and audit and growth, and I expect to see a lot more advisory heavy firms in the coming years. More firms are experimenting with partner models, corporate style structures, non-equity roles. M&A is going to drive a larger share of non-organic growth.
It's the headlines in the newspaper right there. I can see it. The Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. These are really big signals, Chelsea. So let's bring this on. When you zoom out, what is 2025 telling us about what's coming up in 2026?
I think if you're an accounting firm, 2025 was really not the year to stand still. The firms making the biggest moves are really working on rewriting the playbook of an accounting firm. They're questioning some of the long-held assumptions about ownership, compensation, pricing, and even what services belong inside of a CPA firm. This is a year that really rewarded bold decisions, not incremental tweaks or keeping things the same as they always have been.
And you're a big advocate of innovation. Accountants are not generally known for it, but you've spoken about it a lot. So as we look ahead, Chelsea, where are the big opportunities for firms?
I think advisory, strategic combinations, and then really modernizing the operational model. Not because those things are trendy and what everybody is talking about, but because they're becoming the baseline for staying competitive.
Yeah. I love doing these episodes with you because we all talk about it and there's so many different one-to-one conversations. You bring the definitive answers to it because you've got all the technology, all the research, all the stats. You can see the big trend. So that wraps up our look of 2025 and the biggest theme so far. It has been a wild year, and we'll be keeping track of these shifts as they unfold for you.
Yeah, and next week we'll shift from the numbers to the future. We have our top 10 predictions for 2026. Some will line up with what you expect. Some may surprise you, but all of them matter. So follow with the podcast so you do not miss it.
I'm looking forward to that. It's hard to predict what's happening next week, let alone next year. But if anyone knows it, it will be you, Chelsea.
Yeah, we're going to get out a crystal ball for next week's episode. And share your thoughts with us on LinkedIn. We always want to hear what you're seeing inside your firm.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you on the Inside Public Accounting podcast next time.